Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
The Australian space industry is surprisingly large. True, we do not employ astronauts. Yes, we do build a small number of satellites and rockets, but we do have thousands of people involved in support jobs. The Space Industry Association of Australia is an organisation dedicated to promoting the rapidly growing space industry. It gathered together many of the movers and shakers of the industry and asked them to describe themselves and their companies and organisations. The Space Show was there and recorded their self-descriptions. Now, a self-description is the audio equivalent of the photographic selfie craze that has swept the world. Our program this evening is devoted to these audio selfies from our country's space leaders.
My name is Rick Bailey. I'm the licensed products manager at Geoplex, which is part of the Nova Group. Geoplex specialises in the development and deployment of enterprise GIS solutions, which includes remote sensing. My responsibility as licensed products manager is to manage our partnerships with companies such as AGI and Planet. AGI develop physics-based modelling software for systems such as space missions, space situation awareness, electronic systems, aircraft missions. Then Planet operate the world's largest constellation of Earth observation satellites. We've been working with them for over 6 years now. It's been a very exciting journey, and I think there's going to be a lot more innovations moving forward. My background's actually in software development, and the thing that is of real interest to me as far as the way Planet works is the way they deploy their data, downloading it, automatically processing it, and publishing it through the cloud in less than 24 hours, making that data accessible through an open API, which, if you've worked with Earth observation data for as long as I have, I remember the days when you used to get a large box of DVDs or even CDs and said, hey, I need to know blah. And you have to work through loading CDs, loading DVDs. I'm glad those days are behind me because they were a killer.
One of the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Used to be Jackie Slavero, now Carpenter. I started One Giant Leap Australia about 8 years ago now to try and open the pipeline up for your workforce. So I deal with all age groups. Last year, I took 122 people to space camp in Alabama from Australia, and they were aged 10 to 70. I'm the only company that takes adults as well as children. I take grandparents and parents because I believe if we want to make change the ecosystem and you want to encourage people to have STEM careers, we have to get the parents supporting the kids with a dream. So we make the impossible possible in my company. We access federal government grants and give the money to schools to enable kids who have a dream to make a dream a reality. So we also are bringing 7 NASA JPL scientists out to Australia in July. We're going to Sydney, Canberra, Wagga and the Northern Territory. So if you want to be involved in that, this is not about promoting NASA. We want to match those people with Australian career professionals to show kids that they can get a job in our country and have a great career. So One Giant Leap does a lot of things. We also do drone education, and we don't manufacture drones and we don't provide drones. We talk about how to enable the technology in schools, so trying to get rid of that locking up the drones because there's LiPo battery issues or something. We are at that other end of regulations and helping people. So we're about teacher professional development, we're about students, we're about the community and industry partnerships and universities. So we play in the whole space.
The Space Show with the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry.
I'm Mike de la Chapelle. I'm with Boeing, a senior technical fellow based in Sydney. A little bit about Boeing. We're the largest aerospace company in the world, and we have the largest presence outside the U.S. in Australia. We have We've grown to about 4,000 employees in Australia in six subsidiaries. The biggest subsidiary is Boeing Defence Australia. It's located in Brisbane, and they do a lot of things, develop defence systems and provide services. I think of greatest relevance is they're working on a really big program right now and delivering product for Land 2072, which is the Australian Army's kind of next generation common networking system. And that includes some very sophisticated SATCOM terminals to access WGS. And these are all Australian developed systems with a big Australian supply chain. And these SATCOM terminals go on trucks and trailers, and some of them are very sophisticated, do comm on the move. That's all Australian developed technology. I mentioned WGS. So we can provide the satellites that are the backbone of Australia's MIL-SATCOM system, the partnership with the U.S. in sharing a global constellation of satellites. And then moving on, our next biggest subsidiary is Boeing Aerostructures Australia. They're based right here about a kilometer away at Fisherman's Bend, and they do advanced manufacturing of composite parts for commercial aircraft and other things. And that, if you ever get a chance to tour that factory, you'll be very impressed with the automation and robotics there. A lot of that technology was to really achieve a world-class capability was developed right here in Australia in partnership with Syro. And if you flew on a 787 or other aircraft, a lot of many of those parts were manufactured right here in Australia as a sole supplier. And they do 100% of their products are exported. We also have two big R&D centers in Australia, one in Brisbane, and they focus on autonomy and also training systems. And that's where we're increasingly doing a lot of our space R&D. They have six space R&D projects going on right now. We also have a research center here in Melbourne at Fisherman's Bend, and they focus on advanced manufacturing and materials. I think that's it for me.
From Jeff Shedd, right here in Melbourne, the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Clark. I'm the Director of Technical Strategy for Thales Australia. Thales Australia employs 3,500 people and is a major player in the defence sector. We make a range of products from submarine systems for submarines through to protected mobility vehicles for defence. But Thales is also part of a global organisation, the Thales Group, and we've got a very global approach to product portfolio. We have major business units in a number of sectors, including space. Thales Alenia Space is our space arm. Today, we haven't got much of that business in Australia. So my objective and a few of my colleagues is working on how we can contribute to the space industry in Australia. It's only in the last 18 months that I've even become involved in the space industry, so I'm somewhat new to it. And in fact, in the area of Earth observation, it's only been a few weeks since I've been reading up about Earth observation. So a little bit of a different profile. But it's probably worth noting what our strategy is in Australia in terms of space. There's two key elements to the initiative. One is that we're investing in research relationships and R&D activities, funding organisations, or putting a small contribution into organisations like the SmartSat CRC, where we can be involved in a collaborative research environment. Secondly, we're looking at near-term business opportunities. We need some business wins to be able to support an ongoing investment in R&D, and there are some clear opportunities in Australia at the moment. So I thought, if we've got the time, I'd just share one or two key technical and product areas of interest in the Earth observation area that might be relevant. Firstly, altimetry. Thales is developing a new range of altimetry satellites that can be used in sun-synchronous orbit and innovative elliptical orbits to be able to focus on particular areas on the globe for observation. Secondly, SAR, synthetic aperture radar. Thales has had quite a large portfolio of synthetic radar satellite capabilities, and recently that range has been extended, and now you can get satellites that will give you resolution down to half a metre and swath widths up to 450 kilometres wide. So there's a full range of SAR capabilities from Thales. Thirdly, in the area of constellations, the trend towards large constellations of smaller satellites. Thales is involved in that and has recently signed up arrangements to deliver quite large constellations for Earth observation, mainly optical, and they're targeting the sector of the market that seems to be driven by this service-oriented approach. So we're providing satellites to the people that are starting up those service-based organisations. And then finally... second to last, ground segments. Thales has a significant business in ground segments, receiving and processing and enriching the data, and those ground segment capabilities are available in modular form or fixed installations. And finally, Stratobus. Stratobus, if you haven't heard of it, is a high-altitude platform system. And what distinguishes it from some other apps that you may have heard of about today is the fact that Stratobus can carry 350 kilograms of payload up to the edge of space, up to the stratosphere, where it can be used for a range of Earth observation, ISR, or communications applications. And there are a number of opportunities in the business coming up in Australia where that platform may be applicable. So I hope I've given you just a little bit of an introduction to what Thales does.
We're listening to some of the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry. This is The Space Show. And now on The Space Show, we go back to Jeff Shedd, where many of the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry have gathered together to explain for the Space Industry Association of Australia what they do.
Good afternoon. My name is Sean Cochran. I'm with Raytheon Space Systems. We're based out of El Segundo, California, but I'm out of our Denver, Colorado office. I have the entire civil and environmental space observing platforms for Raytheon Space Systems under my purvey. Previously, I was 6.5 years as the chief scientist for the Joint Polar Satellite System Common Ground System, which is the next generation of weather and Earth-observing satellites being built at NASA Goddard for NOAA, which is part of an interesting tie-back to when you were talking about the Weather Service, because 85% of what goes into our weather models at the National Weather Service is the LEO constellation that we run at the Joint Polar Satellite System. Raytheon Space Systems, if you're not familiar, we do have a landing company in Australia, and we build a lot of Earth-observing sensors for foreign governments and for the United States government, for the government of Canada, mostly related to EOIR type missions. What's unique is that we do have a 100% turn-on success rate. We've done that on over 100 sensors that are flying right now, and cumulative comes up to a little over 500 years of observations coming from the sensors that we build at Raytheon Space Systems.
One of the people speaking to the Space Industry Association of Australia.
So, Cole Cooper, I'm Viasat Australia, and in this audience I probably don't have to explain who Viasat is, but surprisingly many people don't know who Viasat is. We're a medium-sized company, wholly owned by the US, and really we have a couple of unique things. I think the first one, and very important one, is that we're about 50% commercial and 50% defence. So that's a unique position, which I think as we move forward and see all the innovations coming in the commercial world, being able to apply that to the defence problem, especially with all the acquisition money that's available right now, I think is going to be very important. So that puts us in a fairly unique position. I think we also are probably more vertically integrated than any other company. So we do everything from the space platform. We integrate the platform ourselves, and we don't launch it, but we certainly make the space platform. We do the RF, we do the ground stations. We do the distribution, modems, and I think we see ourselves transitioning from being a satellite provider to being a services provider. You may have seen that we've announced our third bird to be launched in our Viasat 3 constellation. That's a multi-terabit constellation. So the third one will be over here in Australia in about 2022, which will give us global coverage. So a terabit satellite is quite a bit bigger than what's available today. We like that sexy stuff in the sky, but really we think a lot of the innovation nowadays is going to come from not the ground segment and the space segment. Sure, that's good, but I think it's the network management segment that's going to be really important. If we want to achieve the sort of resilience that defence is asking for, and I think increasingly commercial organisations will need, then we need to look at that, that management, be able to use the networking layer to provide interoperability and connectivity that currently relies on that being able to shoot the bird, all being able to shoot the same bird in the sky. The transport layer connectivity, I think, is the thing of the past, and we need to look on, be able to use multiple constellations and be able to talk together across that thing. That's where I think the exciting stuff's happening.
Movers and shakers on the space show.
So my name's Rob Currie. I'm the owner and CEO of a company called Geospatial Intelligence. A name very similar to our earlier presentation, but in actual fact, I've been around for coming up to 17 years, quite a long time. And our focus is, as David was saying earlier, in that downstream processing. So we see ourselves as a solutions company where we're doing the analytics, and our key sensor is actually a spaceborne sensor. And there's lots of benefits, I'm sure I'm preaching the converted here, that you can actually do from space that you can't do from any other sensor. And so we actually use that advantage in providing solutions to our clients. So probably 75% of our business is government, the rest is commercial. But we see a major tsunami, if you like, in the industry at the moment. That commercial part is growing, and it has tremendous potential. I mean, the government side is growing, as I heard from Scott as well, but certainly that commercial part is growing tremendously, and we see a lot of advantages in having Australian capability service that Australian commercial need that's coming along.
And we've got even more movers and shakers and their selfies.
My name is George Dyke, and happy to be on this panel with everyone. I work at a small consulting company based in Sydney called Symbios Communications, and we basically work on international coordination activities in the Earth observation space. So we work with data providers, generally space agencies overseas, to help them package their data for users, and we help users who know they need satellite data to articulate their needs and try and find the satellite data that they're looking for. So I think I come to this, Adam, with a kind of international view, international perspective, and I see in the Australian context, weather is a great example whereby we source all of our satellite weather observations from overseas, and they greatly enhance the services for society that Australians benefit from, and I think we try and replicate that as many times as we possibly can. I think we're in an era where exploitation is key in the area of Earth observation, so we have huge data flows now, and that's exciting, and different kinds of sensors and volumes. Adjacent to that, we also have huge developments in IT, cloud infrastructure, open source software in other areas of application that can be applied to Earth observation, for example, machine learning, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a really exciting confluence right now. And I think that there's roles for everyone, but I think we need to have, academia, government, industry in the room for the whole conversation and not just, involve industry at the end to build a satellite. I think we've got a lot of different perspectives, and I think really listening to what everyone's trying to do and looking for a solution together is really the key to making the most of what I think is a huge opportunity right now for EO.
Mustered up by the Space Industry Association, the movers and shakers of the Australian space industry.
Thank you very much. I'm Andy Koronios. Thank you for the invitation. Hi, everyone. My day job is the Dean for Industry and Enterprise at the University of South Australia. That really means that I look after a lot of the strategic industry engagements for our university. But my hobby for the last 18 months has been to bring together, with the help of many colleagues in this room, in fact, bring together probably the largest R&D concentration in space and to work hand in hand with industry in the SmartSat CRC bid. If the SmartSat CRC bid is successful, and we will find out hopefully very soon, but certainly in a couple of months, if not earlier than that, it will bring together, as Alan said before, a lot of the expertise and industry activity in advanced telecommunications, in intelligent satellite systems, and also advanced EO sensors and technologies that will give us the capability for surveillance, for monitoring, and for sensing our planet and our seas and oceans, which represent about a tenth of our planet, of the planet. So it is a major initiative if we are successful. It brings together 82 participants, about 12, I think it is, more than a dozen global companies, about 40 SMEs, Australian SMEs and startups, and 20 university and other organizations, including DST and the CSIRO.
This is the Space Show on 88.3 Sullen FM.
Hi, Nick Lee from Optus. Bit of heritage first. So Optus has celebrated over 30 years of being in the satellite industry. We've built and launched 10 satellites. We only operated 9, so you can work that one out. We, you know, our current services, I think everybody's aware, we fundamentally provide the TV broadcasting in both Australia and New Zealand. That's both pay and free-to-air. We provide all the free-to-air services on the VAST platform, so there's about 350,000 set-top boxes been enabled over the last 10 years so that people in remote and rural Australia can actually get up to 100 channels of SD, HD, and radio. We also feed the big transmitters on the hilltops. So although we've only got 350,000 direct to home, we actually service more than 2 million customers because the big transmitters are fed by HD satellite signals. We are in a telco. So one of our main services that we provide for Optus is we basically provide 3G and 4G backhaul through our own small cell technology, which is a software-defined architecture, so we can actually provide 3G services and 4G services through the same radio system with a satellite backhaul. And later on, towards the end of this year, we'll be able to implement a 5G capability across that network without actually changing the radios. We provide a whole bunch of other data services to people like New South Wales Education, spot beams over McMurdo Sound with Raytheon, so that provide all the scientific, American scientific people, connectivity. We carry the English Premier League through Optus Sport. That goes into every single tab across Australia. So it's just coming back to what somebody said at the beginning. I think a lot of people don't actually know that they're being touched by satellite. What are we doing for the future? Optus Innovate. We've invested in Myriota as an IoT platform. We also have a cooperation agreement with Telesat, and we should have their terminals in Australia later on this year to actually test that capability and see what kind of throughput we can get through that 16 terabit piece of infrastructure using LEO. And then finally, what a lot of people are interested in is we're coming towards end of life of three of our satellites. And that's where I think there's going to be a step change in industry. Intelsat are about to use a life extension vehicle for the first time on a satellite. And a lot of our satellites have got absolutely fantastic electronics. They just run out of fuel. So life extension vehicles are becoming a reality, so we will certainly be looking at that. But from a new satellite perspective, old HTS for us is not something that we want to buy. We're looking at software-defined, very high throughput capability for the replacement of our fleet.
And this is the Space Show. The movers and shakers, self-descriptions.
So, hi everyone. I'm Anna Moore from Australian National University, and I work on Mount Stromlo, which is really awesome. If you haven't been there, please come and visit. So I'm director of the ANU Institute for Space. This is a $30 million centre, which is the front door to ANU space interests and activities. And it's a multidisciplinary, cross-disciplinary institute. So our first projects range from an astronomy mission, which I'm sure you'll like, astronomy mission to the ISS with new infrared detectors and machine learning from a local industry, industry, which is pretty cool. Also, we're setting up a new space law division in the College of Law. We're interested in optical comms, both in the QKD and quantum memory area, and we want to set up Australia's first optical ground station network. I don't know if Ben's here. I don't want him to get upset about that. Going in on his territory. And also space medicine. There's great interest in space medtech in this country. And we have some interest from our own college and from the wider community. And so I'm also here because we're just setting up. We have money. We need good people. So if you know anyone who would like to come work in our institute, we're really, really looking forward to speak with you.
And we have time to sneak in one more audio selfie from the Space Industry Association of Australia.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ashley Neal. I work with a company called Speedcast. We're celebrating our 20th year this year. And in the 4 years I've been involved with the business, we've gone from roughly 100 employees to 1,400. We're in 40 locations around the world, 250 field engineers, 9 global NOCs, 120 countries with customers. We've developed from being a satellite systems integrator, so just delivering internet, to now growing into a company that's an information service provider. So we're learning how to collaborate, we're learning how to better serve our customers with the size that we've got. And you know, we're very proud that we don't know everything, but we're open to learn that. So our mantra at the moment is the information you need wherever you need it. The four industries that we focus on are energy, maritime, government, enterprise. Government represents roughly a quarter of our revenue, and we think we're going to grow that business pretty significantly around the world by taking some of the lessons we learned from commercial services we provide and applying them into a government context.
Well, you've been listening to The Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie, and yes, Apollo 13 and on next week's show.
From Cheltenham to Chadstone, you're listening to Southern FM.